Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. This is the episode for August 25th, 2008, and on this episode, Tom Williams interviews Beata Pilch of Trapdoor Theater. Also, we have Chicago's theater news for you, so get ready, Chicago, and let's talk theater.
This is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our special guest this week is Beata Pilch, who is the artistic director, founder, actress, director, and inspiration behind one of the finest, unique little storefront theaters, Trapdoor Theater. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Tom.
Right. Well, tell us now, so you folks get an idea, on Cortland, right off Ashland, in a little Bucktown, little street full of a few restaurants, you'll see a sign in between two restaurants.
Two buildings, yeah, yes, gangway that's
gangway
all lit up.
That says Trapdoor Theater, and it's a little hidden way, and it's almost symbolic that you have that because you do these treasure shows that no one else does.
They're trapped in literature.
Yeah, and it's a terrific space. So tell us the background of Trapdoor Theater. When you started, and I heard a rumor that you had actually toured Europe for a couple of years, and that was one of the...
That was during college, my graduate school at CalArts. That's where I started producing a small little company that during the summertime we would take all over Eastern Europe, and we're very fortunate to get venues to play in at a very early on stage. Which taught me how to produce and organize and, as I said before, take care of people. And when I graduated, I then decided to start my own theater company in Chicago. I got this building together through a friend of mine, and it was completely dilapidated, and we built it ourselves. And I believe we had a very strong mission to start with. And
yeah, tell us
what
your mission is.
We do rare, obscure material that is barely seen in the United States, if ever at all, except for some universities do have it in their programs. But otherwise, I do extensive traveling all over Europe, searching out this very special material that we work on. And we do it in a very physical and expressive way to be able to relay it to the American audience.
So a lot of it are, these are absurdist type plays, Eastern Europe flavor.
German expressionism. We love the Polish work, being especially that I'm from Poland. Lots of French material where we get wonderful support from the French embassy and other cultural institutions in town. We've recently started working with the Romanian embassy in getting us directors straight from Romania.
Didn't you go to Romania?
We went to Romania last year, yes. We toured four cities, and it was one of the most amazing experiences of our life, and we can't wait to go back.
Oh, you're going back?
We're going back, and as I said, this time we're going back even better prepared because the Romanian embassy has searched out a top director for us in Romania and is taking care of him for us.
Very good.
And we are getting support from the French embassy for that project, and we've written many grants, and since we went last time, we found out about many foundations that fund artists to Eastern Europe, and we get to go and be a part of these huge international festivals and see theater all day long, and we're taken care of like rock stars, and it's wonderful.
Wow, and you're finding new work, too.
Yes, all the time. We get to see this international material that doesn't really make it over to this side of the world too often.
Well, let's talk about the play you have that's going to start in another week and what you have coming up this season. Then we'll go over some of the background because, folks, this group has quite a history. They've done some of the most unique jaw-dropping theater that I've seen here in Chicago.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah. That's nice to hear.
Yeah, it really is. So what's your next play?
Our next play is called No Darkness Round My Stone by Fabrice Melchiot and translated by David Bradby.
Is that a French play?
It is, and it's a U.S. premiere, and I'm very proud to say that all the works in our season this year are U.S. premieres for the first time ever in a season.
Wow, that is
yes.
Terrific.
I'm very, very proud of that.
So the word's getting around the world that you guys are here.
Yes, and as I said, these cultural institutions do assist us in finding material.
Okay, so what is this play about?
This play is about many things. Obviously, we always work in layers.
Well, just tell us enough to get piques people's interest.
It's about the everyday life of grave robbers.
Of grave robbers?
Yes. Told in a very surreal, dark, comic way.
That sounds interesting.
Yes.
That's hooked me. But folks, if it says Trapdoor, you come see it. Even if you don't know the name of it, you're one of those groups that the quality of work they do is such that if you're interested in theater, you just go.
Thank you.
And you discover when you get there what the name of the play is and what it's about. And it will be something unique, right?
I always tell people, if you hate theater, come to the Trapdoor. Because then you'll possibly gain a desire to return, and therefore you'll like theater.
Yeah, you set the standards high, and you do it in this intimate 60-seat stage that is literally theater in your face.
Literally.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I really like about it. Okay, so you have that, and then after that,
we're doing another U.S. premiere called The Unconquered by Torben Betts. It's a new Scottish play. And then the springtime, we're doing our Romanian/French piece, Horses at My Window. Horses at the Window by Matei Vishnek. He's a Romanian writer. And that's the one we're going to be traveling with. And we have kind of a theme running this season with last season we did a lot of shows about world leaders,
yes,
like Eva Perón and the American leaders.
You really took care of George Bush and all his pals.
Yeah. And this year we've noticed that the running theme is what happens after the war hits the home front at home with the family in the home place.
Interesting, yeah.
And the reactions and how society has to change or adjust.
Okay. Now, tell us the process in which you use to select plays. Do you do it yourself?
I do it myself.
Okay, so you're the one totally responsible.
I'm the one 90% responsible, and I'd say the rest of the time I'm given scripts by others that are recommended to me to read, and then I either like them or I don't.
All right, to come up with three or four plays for a season, how many plays do you think you go through, you read, or you see?
I'm getting better that I'm planning my seasons a year in advance,
okay.
So I'm always reading plays.
Okay.
And I always kind of try to prepare myself and have plays on the back burner in case one, for some reason or another, can't happen because actors are not available or we didn't get the rights. I always have a backup plan.
Okay. But so you are totally responsible?
I am totally responsible, yes.
Okay, and Your general criteria is what? To stay with your mission?
To stay with my mission. We don't only do European work. We also honor a lot of original American work. So we have developed relationships with playwrights in the past that either write solely for our company or have also sent us to others of this in the same kind of genre that have heard about us, and the word gets around, and we develop relationships with playwrights.
Well, your judgment has been pretty strong on the plays. As I said once before, when people come here, they don't necessarily like everything they see, but they're affected by it. They're glad they saw it, and they appreciate the art form of live theater.
I think you just can't sit passively at a trapdoor show.
No, you can't.
You cannot. You either, like you say, hate it or love it, but you definitely feel something.
And I think anybody who's into theater has to come here and experience the play, because you will see things you will not see anywhere else.
Thank you.
I don't know anyone that comes close to to doing. Sometimes maybe a Red Orchid or sometimes Mariachi, possibly.
Yes, they.
But they, then they don't do the foreign plays.
They do some foreign plays. Actually, we have some similar playwrights that we both are interested in. So sometimes I try to get them before they do.
But that's good company because then you get to the ensemble, and I want you to talk about some of you because you have a cast of terrific actors. And amazing thing is you guys don't pay your actors.
Well, I don't really know many theaters in the city that do.
Yeah, that's true.
And we at least offer tip money and pizza and beer.
So the people perform because they love the art, the creating of art.
Yes, and if they're going to work for free somewhere else, they would rather stay here because at least here they're working on material they won't have offered anywhere else. And part of the deal of being in our company is to challenge everyone and offer them roles that they would also possibly not be up for anywhere else.
That's true. You get a chance to play some really strong roles that if it was an Equity Theater, they would maybe be top Broadway people or, you know, the downtown Steppenwolf Goodman type Equity actors. So that is a great expansion for actors. They get to do the kind of roles that can prepare them to move on.
As just has happened recently with my artistic partner, Nicole Wiesner.
Yes.
She's been on the stage for 10 years as my leading lady.
That's right.
And currently she has been offered roles at the Goodman Theater.
Yeah, she's now Equity.
She had to leave.
Yeah, and she's done some terrific work there.
She was able to play everything from a princess to a white trash wife.
You must be proud of that, because that's probably one of the little residuals that you probably didn't expect when you started the theater.
I knew she was the best. Yeah. I was just, hoping nobody would figure it out.
Okay, one of the other things I respect about you is that you don't do what some people could interpret to be vanity theater. You're not the star of every show, and you don't direct every show.
Oh, my goodness.
Although
I wish I could.
You have done both.
Which I will be doing in the next, the second production of the season.
But you're about creating art, so you don't mind and encourage having another director direct a show.
I love it. Okay. We try.
How do you determine that? Is it that someone has a vision of the show that you might not have? Or how do you determine which shows, you're going to bring in another director?
Well, it's a selective process. We start reading and exchanging scripts very early on, discussing them, what they like about them, what they don't. If I see a director that's drawn to a certain script and has a vision for it, especially a script that I'm not particularly passionate about, but I do believe it fits into our mission, well, then there's half my battle.
Mm-hmm.
And I look into backgrounds and other material that they've worked on and what their taste is. And I've always tried to bring in an international director as often as, we can, basically to work with someone that nobody else in the city will get the opportunity with either.
That's terrific. But you also recently, in the last year or so, had a big name director.
Tracy Letts.
Yes, tell us how did that happen? He's a fabulous director,
he's
folks,
wonderful.
Besides being a great playwright.
He's a great friend of ours, too.
Is he? Okay.
But I've known him for quite a many years in the city and have followed his work. And actually, I used to bug him early on to write the next script for Trapdoor Theater because I just thought it was so perfect. His material was such a perfect fit for our ensemble. But his own life took off, and I never had that opportunity, and I hope I will in the future.
He got a little busy between being an actor and writing a play that a couple of people saw.
Yes.
But he did direct the show here.
Yes, People Annihilation or My Liver is Senseless. He actually introduced me to a new playwright that I've never heard of before, Werner Schwab from Austria. And now, since then, I've gone off and read more material, and I'm planning to do another show of his in the future.
Fantastic.
Yes, and I think he really respects the material that we do, and as that's the reason he brought us that script, because I don't think any other theater in the city would have wanted to do it, and so he came here, and of course we loved it.
Wow. And let me ask you that too. These the ones that are still alive, these foreign playwrights? Do they generally come in the United States to see your productions?
Not generally. Not a lot of them are alive. But we've been fortunate, as I said, through other cultural institutions, they invite them for us and fund their travel. So we've had a few. We will be getting the Romanian playwright in the springtime, too.
That's terrific, because a small storefront, that you just couldn't have the budget to handle international travel and motels.
That's why we rely on the French.
Yeah, very good. So you got to be proud of what you guys have done through the years.
Yes, I'm so tired and lost in the shuffle that I really don't even realize where we've come, and I have to step back and look at it all and then realize.
Well, my research has shown that you've done over 70 productions.
Yes.
In 14 years.
Yep. We were very prolific early on because we believed that we should constantly stay in the paper, stay in the public eye, be open all year round. That's why we have a building. It's the only way I think we could have gotten be put on the map anywhere in the city.
Well, one of your plays won three Jeff Awards.
Lebensraum, yes.
Tell us about that.
Israel Horovitz. That's a magnificent play, and I was surprised to know that it wasn't often produced.
A lot of his plays aren't, and
he's
a good
wonderful
writer. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And he's also a French translator.
Is
for
he really?
French work.
Because I know he's a Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so a lot of Canadians are very strong in French. But
yes. I believe we won, that was so long ago, Sharon Gupford, I believe, won Best Actress and Best Actor, and was Eric Johnson, mm-hmm. and we won Best Production.
It's not a bad year.
No.
When you won three.
I think that was one of our first years where we really kind of gained momentum.
You did the Polish absurdist play, The Mother.
Yes.
I did not see that. Tell us about that.
Well, that was written by one of my favorite playwrights, Stanislav Witkiewicz. I've been following his work. Well, he's not alive, but I've been going to his theater in Poland since I was a teenager that's dedicated to all of his work. So I'm very familiar with the material, and it's just, I love it. And
so you're Polish, so you speak Polish.
Yes.
So you can go see it in Poland.
Yes, but, you know, I take a lot of Americans with me to Poland or, you know, anywhere in Europe, and the language there is secondary. It doesn't matter if you don't speak the language, because the acting is so physical, and they act from the top of their head to the bottom of their toe, that physical language is universal, and you get it, and that's so visual. You know, nobody sits at a table talking.
That's true. I've only saw a few plays in Eastern Europe, but I saw one in Hungary, and I did see one in Slovenia.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. I was able to follow it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't understand the language, but because of the style. Yeah.
Yes, and we opened Trapdoor with The Madman and the Nun in 1994. That was a Witkiewicz play, and then since then we've done four others, Mother being one of them, Crazy Locomotive, Shoemakers.
Do you do the translations?
No, they exist in English.
Oh, they do exist.
And actually now I've created a relationship with the translator, Daniel Giroult. From New York University.
So if there's a couple of things that you're not sure of, you can speak to them about.
Well, they exist in English.
Okay.
But if there's a weird translation that I'm not understanding, I'll either look it up in Polish on my own and try to make sense of it, or I have an email relationship with him. I'll be, you know, he's very open to discuss anything. He actually gives me new French material. He translates in French and Polish. He gives me new, fresh off the griddle French material every year. He sends it to me. So,
well, you're really developing a pipeline.
It's taken 14 years.
But there is such an end. And I remember you doing The Flies.
Yes.
And one I really liked was The Old Clown Wanted.
Thank you.
That was such a beautiful show. And again, there's another show. If I remember right, there was very little dialogue or no dialogue?
No, there was dialogue.
But very little.
Yes. Yes, and it was mainly physical staging and relationship-based. But we were able to tour Romania with that piece.
Oh, you did take it?
Yes, and that the playwright that wrote that piece, we're working on another one of his plays, Horses at the Window, in the springtime.
Wow.
And he's the one who's coming.
Well, folks, any of you that saw that, that was just such a brilliant, play. The night I saw, I believe it was opening night or a night or two around, the audience was just nailed to the edge of their chairs through the whole play. It was that powerful.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and again, I thought some of the actors, that's something you have to not only tell us about some of the people in your ensemble, but how they stretch as actors. And you as a director must be, like on The Clown, they had to do clown work.
Yes.
So how do you cast that? You cast a clown, cast an actor, train?
Well, over the years, we've developed a very tight acting pool that we work with over and over with again. And so I know the backgrounds of a lot of these people, and I know what they're capable of doing, and I've watched them over the years develop their craft. So I personally try not to have too many general auditions because we've developed such a working vocabulary together, and because of the type of material that we do, I always believe that your average actor just can't come in here off the street and nail this, because it's taken years for us to trust each other and learn from each other and make bold choices.
And I'm glad you said that, and I hope some of the younger theater groups get into that you're better off. That's an old style. The old traditions, the old Shakespeare companies in that, in going back 100, 200 years ago, they spent their whole life in one company.
Yes, and in Europe still, once you get into a company, you pretty much stay there. I mean, why leave if you're loving the work?
Yeah, and when you have these relationships with the directors and with the other actors, there's so many little things that can be done that almost automatically happen. And then when we come in to see, we go, wow, you guys must have rehearsed this show for months, and then sometimes it's only a couple of weeks, right?
3 weeks.
Yeah. You do 3 week rehearsals?
Yeah. Eva Peron, we rehearsed for 3 weeks, and it
That
it
was amazing, because that was a big show.
Yes, it almost killed me because it was so big, and we only had such a short amount of time, so it was really a challenge.
So that speaks to the fact that you work with most of the people.
Yes.
And they know you, and you. So again, like you said, there is that little bit of shorthand.
Half my work is done. I can trust them to bring in choices and be free to experiment, and two heads, three, four heads are always better than one.
Well, give us a few of the names of some of your favorite ensemble members.
4 years, we've worked with, obviously, my leading lady, Nicole Wiesner, Wesley Walker, Carl Wisniewski, John Kahara, John Gray. Now we have Holly Thomas, we have new people, Tiffany Bedwell, Noah Durham, Geraldine Dulex.
And folks, there's no notes here.
I hope I'm not missing anybody. We have a lovely stage manager that's been with us for years and years and years, Gary D'Amico.
And that's an underrated craft, stage manager.
We have our lighting designer who's been with us since day one, Richard Norwood.
Yeah, because on the technical, you guys get an awful lot out of the sound and the staging in a small, intimate set without big budgets.
Yes. The staging is really 75% of the environment that we're creating.
But, I mean, the technical ends, the sound and lighting is always very strong in your productions.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you
really
very
are.
Much.
And it that adds an awful lot to it.
Yes.
Because you come in and you take a look at the set and you go, oh, boy, I wonder what this is about. And then after, you're like, wow, how did they do that?
Yeah.
Like
magic.
You talked about John Kahara. He did The Swan a couple of years ago. Talk about a brave. Wow.
If you missed it, you could catch it, him doing The Swan this weekend at the Bucktown Arts Fest. But he will have clothes on.
Oh. But you did The Flies, Nana, if I'm saying it right.
Nana, yeah.
Nana, and Garden of Delights I liked.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Fernando Arrabal, who was present at the opening night from France.
Oh, terrific.
Yes.
Yeah.
He that opened also our new space.
That's right.
In a new configuration. That was very difficult to build the space and rehearse the play at the same time. I don't know if you remember, we had 5 lovely sheep.
Yes.
And we created a whole sheep language, which took a couple months. but they were great.
That was one of the most provocative things that you guys have done. And it was, again, it was, how well did that do? Because it was
It did very well in the reviews. And we were worried that since we had to shut down our building for a year and a half to rehab our space, that we would have lost our momentum and had to kind of start up again. But we were very fortunate that people either came to see the show because of the reviews, or people came to greet us in our new space.
Well, I think probably a combination thereof, but the nature of the work you do, you don't always get great reviews.
I have to say that on the most part, yes, we do. Out of, what is it, 7 or 8 publications per show, we're always definitely batting the majority of them.
Yeah, but you are, the work you do, for people that don't understand it, I've seen shows here that I've loved, and the people that know theater, the reviewers in town who know your work, mm-hmm. who come to it, we all tend to like a lot of the stuff you do. And sometimes, though, the young new people that really don't know what's going on,
yeah,
they have a hard time with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people take that with a grain of salt. Because they know when they come here, they're in for such a different experience in theater.
I think we've established ourselves, and I think it's pretty good to get a not-so-glowing review every now and then with the in the mix. Because then people can decide for themselves. As you said, they know our reputation.
Well, as long as they're fair to explaining what it's about. Because there are certain shows, and I've said that on some of your shows, there are certain shows that, you know, if you have a thin skin or is it, it's they're tough enough topics where there are some people would be offended by it, then maybe that isn't for you. But at least you know what you're getting into.
Yes, but I think that our topics that might offend some people are very important issues.
Oh, absolutely.
Nothing is just there to be offensive for that sake. It's a very serious, we pretty much handle really serious issues here.
I lost the name of the one play that I liked. It was a German play where it was a one woman and there was no
Request
dialogue.
Request program.
Yeah, there was no dialogue.
No dialogue.
And that was
Francis
pretty heavy.
Xavier Kreutz, yeah. Yes. Actually, that's one of my favorite pieces. It was very challenging. It's just 5 pages of stage directions, which I actually added even more. Very powerful. However, I believe that it was done during the wrong time of the year because it was the middle of summer and it wasn't the play that's going to make you, you know, walk out of here and be happy.
Oh, no, it was pretty strong.
Yes, yeah. So I think it should have been done in the winter time when people were more...
But it was so marvelous, the power of theater is so marvelous because without a word of dialogue, other than her turning on the radio, you see this building up. And who played it?
Carolyn Shoemaker.
Yeah, she was absolutely dynamite in that. And that was one of the pieces. I remember leaving, and people said, well, what did you see? And I said, well, I saw a play where there was no words in it. Well, was it any good? I go, it just blew you away.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it was really a strong piece.
Well, the radio is the main character in the piece.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And but how she remembered all that staging... You know, I mean, all the stuff she had to do.
Lots of rehearsal.
Yeah.
In the summer's heat.
Well, and that was one that you picked. That was the German writer, right?
Yes. Francis Xavier Kreutz.
Yeah. And wasn't that, it was like Eastern Europe, wasn't it?
It's German, yeah. Yes. And the next theater, actually, artistic director Jason Loweth is the one who recommended that play to me.
Oh, Jason Loweth did, yeah.
So as I was saying earlier, that if I don't find the script, other people... recommend
that's the other theater that I was thinking on blanking in my mind that does on their level similar, I wouldn't say similar, but challenges their audience, mm-hmm. his next theater. So
yes.
I could see Jason Lord recommending stuff like that. So now tell us quickly about your background and where Trapdoor is going to be 5 years from now.
Quickly about my background. I was born and raised in Chicago. I've spent pretty much every summer in Poland when I was a child to make sure that I knew my roots and my language. I did all of my schooling in California, undergrad in United States International University in San Diego, graduate school at California Institute of the Arts, lived in Europe for a while, came here, started the building, or should I say got the space, started the theater company, and have been here ever since. I had to take off some time to get things rolling here, and then fortunately I was able to take up my travels again.
Great. And what do you see for Trapdoor Theater over the next 5 years?
Well, my dream in life is to perform and travel. Those are my two biggest passions. I love performing and I love traveling. So if I could do both and see the world and meet artists all over the world, I would love for us to get into the festival circuit all over the world. If I could just, you know, dream, my ideal would be to just travel and perform. And
well, let's hope there's a couple of corporations out there that have grants to do it, because if there's ever a theater group that would be perfect, because you understand how to do American plays, you understand how to do European plays, and a lot of the work you do here, as you have already done, travels well.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Very well.
So maybe we'll get some big corporation to write that check.
Yes, that's right. Anybody out there that wants to?
Well, you got to keep applying, because, you know, Chicago's such a vibrant theater community, but nobody does what you guys do,
and
that's why you've been on my radar for a while to have.
And I figured
this season, it was a good time to get you on for an interview.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Well, and by gosh, we're just about out of time. And thanks. Keep up the good work. And folks, remember, go see a play this week.
Hello, Chicago, and welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of August 25th, 2008. Circle Theater is presenting the Chicago premiere of Escanaba in Love, the prequel to Jeff Daniels' play Escanaba in the Moonlight, which in 2006 was a Jeff-recommended hit for Circle Theater that sold out for 8 weeks straight. Escanaba in Love takes place in the middle of World War II, some 40 years before Escanaba in the Moonlight. It stars Circle Theater favorites Bradford Lund, Simone Ruse, Tucker Curtis, Jason L. Boat, and Timothy C. Amos. Escanaba in Love runs from this September 10th through October 26th at Circle Theater in Forest Park. For tickets and reservations, visit circletheater.org. Again, that's circle-theater.org. American Theater Company, the ATC, has a new executive director, Michael Thomas Newberry. He used to be the deputy director of the Chicago Shakespeare Theater and will now join artistic director PJ Paparelli on the ATC staff. Also, ATC said that Itamar Moses' show, Celebrity Row, will be the second production of the upcoming season and will be directed by David Cromer. Yes. Congratulations goes to Michael Thomas Newberry. Chris Jones of the Tribune has reported that Broadway in Chicago's Ted Bowles will be leaving as press agent for Wicked and is also leaving the Margie Korshak agency this September. Ted says he plans to pursue other opportunities, and we wish him good luck in all his future ventures. Thanks for all the great words, Ted. The Joseph Jefferson Awards Committee has announced the nominations for the 2007-2008 Equity Jeff Awards, and they also announced some structural changes to the category layouts themselves. Many of the major awards will now be in two tiers for the Equity Theaters, meaning there is now a new league of Chicago theaters, and this new category consists of the Goodman Theater, Steppenwolf, Chicago Shakespeare, Court, the Drury Lanes, Marriott, Northlight, Second City, Theater at the Center, Writers Theater, Victory Gardens, Black Ensemble, and Looking Glass Theater. Their shows will now be competing together in an elite category, while the other Equity Theaters will be in a separate one. Stay tuned to Theater in Chicago for a complete list of the nominees coming soon and as the exciting and controversial events unfold. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago News podcast. Remember, you can find us here every Monday with more news ready for you to enjoy. So, until next Monday, that is the theater news from Talk Theater in Chicago, and I'm your host, Dustin Moat. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank Beata Pilch for giving us the honor of interviewing her this week. I would also like to thank Tom Williams and Mark Meyer. Without them, this podcast would not be possible. And also, I would like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we will be here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So, until next Monday, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you, Chicago, to keep talking theater.